When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to another episode of the Conversations Brewing Podcast with your hosts, Divya and Ravisha, two coffee-loving best friends who dive into weekly conversations on wellness, culture, and growing into your authentic self.
As two healthcare professionals, children of immigrants, and humans always striving to learn more, they bring their unique complexities of their wellness journeys into this podcast space by sharing their stories and featuring other like-minded experts in the field.
Always with a cup of coffee in hand, humor, and never-ending authenticity, dive in with the two of them as they brew the kind of conversations that we don't have enough of, but that matter the most.
All right, for anyone out here who is trying to set some goals in 2024 around finances, I know that is me. I have started doing a weekly budgeting sheet. We have the perfect guest for today. Her name is Fiona Nguyen, and she is the founder of Balance, which is a boutique financial accounting and consulting firm for impact-driven small businesses. She was born after the war in Vietnam and she grew up in poverty. She decided to take control of her path by pursuing a career in finance and learning everything she could about accounting, tax code, and financial rules. After 10 years of working in corporate finance, Fiona sought to deliver the same caliber of personalized financial insights to entrepreneurs to make the language of money accessible to all. Together, she supports them in making better decisions, increasing their profit margins, and dare she say it, making accounting fun. And she did make accounting fun, I will say.
She did. This was a great episode, I think, for Divya and I as well, for trying to learn how to budget and save money. So if that's something of interest of you, I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Okay, hi guys. Welcome back to another episode. Today we have a guest with us. Her name is Fiona. She has a company called BalanceX, and we're going to just talk about finance, like financial foundations, and for millennial women today. So thank you so much for coming on and talking to us today, Fiona.
Thank you. So hi, everyone. So my name is Fiona. I am a certified public accountant. So I love the numbers, but always interested in, I learn how people make the financial decisions. So which is the human part of yourself inside of every financial decision that you make. So I am a beach lover. I love teas. But I am also a very softy Capricorn if you go into zodiac sign.
Okay.
So in my professional world, people call me like a number wizard, which is great. But I love those titles. And I work in the field like for more than a decade. And I have been always a corporate girl. But the last couple of years, I feel like I'm not fulfilled with the work in the corporation. So I found my own practice. And now I serve 80% of my clients are woman-owned business.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're not looking for me to just like balance their book or file their tax, but I give them like, you know, like analytical and the inside of their numbers to help them to make the financial decision and achieve their mission with their business. Mm-hmm. So I think that's pretty much about me.
That is awesome, because as women, I've seen that we don't talk a lot about finances, but we're also equipped with the tools of how to talk about it. It feels so general. I can't tell you the amount of times that I have found myself Googling things, like even things that my husband talks about that are financial things. And I don't want to be like, what does that mean? So I'm on my phone just Googling, and we don't have that knowledge. So I think that's amazing that you are so keen to bring that to women-owned businesses. What have you seen are some financial challenges that women particularly face in our modern society?
So you know that like historically to say, we as women, we didn't have the right to open a bank account until like 1974 after the Equal Credit Opportunity Act that gave us the right to open our bank account. So you think about it, it's like our mom or our grandmom, most of their life actually never had the right to manage their own money at all. So we don't have historical data to back us up while men have hundreds of years were taught to how to make the money, manage, grow the business and all of that. And we don't. So we don't have the awareness, education background to help us with it. And then nowadays, you know, almost 45% or 50% of the U.S. workforce is women. So we are likely to marry late too. So we independent, we have an agency over our financial situation, but we don't have something to back us to manage our finance at all. And I think that is quite a challenge for us as women to learn how to manage our own thing.
Yeah, that is. Like, if you think about it, 1974, like, what, 50, 60 years ago? So in that time frame, women had to become a little more independent, like set up their own bank accounts, manage their own money. Mm-hmm. And when you're not like set up with those, that foundation to do so, it can become really difficult.
Yeah, it is. And like women, we also like different from men in the way that we think, the way that we make the decision too. So we more like in tune with our feeling, our intuitive feeling. And we more like risk averse too. And we also like the whole society is not taught us to be like become like more risk chasing, attack any like risky opportunity at all. So we basically like different from men. But all of the education that we went to, it just based on a man identity in that background. So I think it's quite challenging for us, I think.
Yeah. Have you seen that on top of being a woman that certain cultural factors can come into play too? Because I think about my relationship with money and what it looks like growing up, and money was just not really talked about. Like, even to this day, when I talk to my dad about money related things, and I know he doesn't mean it to be in like a, it's, you don't need to know that way, but he's like, that's not for you to deal with, like, let Raj deal with it, or, you know, I'll help you with it, you don't have to worry about it. And so it's kind of perpetuated this narrative of women, at least for me culturally in my household, to, you don't need to worry about money. And so what has that looked like for you? And have you seen that kind of get in the way with your clients too? Like, they've struggled with it?
So like, talk about myself. So I was born like, I think like almost 10 years after Vietnam War was ended. Mm-hmm. So basically I was born in poverty. Like, there was no even rice or bean for us to eat at all. So it's like very poor. And I growing up, like, people surrounding me, they was give me the advice, like, the only way you can save your life is to marry a wealthy man from another country, like US or Australia. It's out of the world when we think about it. So, but thank God that my mom, she always say that the only person that can save you is yourself. And so you need to get very good about finance. But in terms of culture, like you say, like, my culture is always put boy before girls. So I like, in terms of like equal opportunity, we didn't have that at all. So boy more opportunity, more expectation, and so they equipped with more thing than like girls. We just expect to be like beautiful and marriage of wealthy men. It's insane when we think about that. But it's influenced a lot in our, the way that we think about money. And I basically like relearned everything about the money, I think, for the last 15 years or so. So not a lot. And it's also I see it a lot in my client too. Like, after some of them need to divorce, or their husband suddenly passed away, and they need to be like in charge of their finance and their life. And it's like very tough situation to be in. And I wish that we will the education system will teach people about the money like earlier.
Yeah, I think that's really true because I don't know, in society it can be seen as, oh yeah, just marry rich, then you don't have to worry about it, or like things like that. Like you hear that, but like in reality, like that's not the way to go about things. Like you should educate yourself and learn about finances as much as you can. But like you said, it should be taught more so in our school systems. Because I think unless you force yourself, which Divya and I have been like a little more willing to do lately, we're like trying to like teach ourselves about like finances and all of that. But you know, not everyone is like given that opportunity, so it should be taught more.
What would you say are with setting financial goals? So we're talking about this education around it. For me, I always thought setting financial goals is just, okay, budget and put some money aside. Like I just thought save money, that is being financially smart. And the older I've gotten, that's like a small piece of it. That's what I'm realizing. And I still, I am in the process of understanding that more, but I've also seen, like, even as a therapist, so many of my clients don't know anything about financial well-being, especially women, and they just think it's saving money. So for you, what would you tell, let's say, like, any woman, like, what are the main things they need to know to set financial goals, and does it go further than just budgeting?
So I think everything starts with yourself. You need to understand how you make the financial decision, what will triggers, where is your weakness, how is your relationship with your money. That is the starting point. Because the same budget template, the same way, they very standardized, but it's not applicable and it's not like a win way for you at all. If you have a different like triggers, different childhood experience, and those things like you as the therapist, you know that it needs to be healed that part, and you would like give you the opportunity to work towards a new thing. So that is the first thing. And then like look at into your last 6 months income and expense to see like, okay, where things go. We need to base on the data, like from you to the data, you see like, okay, where's your spending go? Where's your majorities of spending? And then from there, think about what is important into your life. Like, for example, you say like the next 10 years, I don't want to work anymore. Like, for example, like that. So you need to think like, okay, how much you will need to be like not working. And that is like talk about the investing part, how you grow that money. And if you need to put in like $2,000 per month into investing, then where you find that money? Then we need to talk about like how you can like set a goal about earning. What can you bring to the markets to help you to make more money? Mm-hmm. Because you can save. But if you just make like $1,500 per month, then there's not much more that you can save at all. Right. And then there's so many things that you need in your life more than just the necessity. And if you build a very good foundation in terms of financial, it will give you so much more opportunity that you can achieve later in life. Like, for many people, that many my client, like wealthy client, this is one of the things that they didn't know when I was young, that like they should come out and buy a property. But I mean, like now real estate is so expensive now. So how we can come out to buy property? So there's so many more pitch in terms of the whole picture of your financial well-being than just budgets. But budgets will help you in terms of like how you see all of your money compared to your goal. Mm-hmm. And that is the way that you have the picture of the money. But it's not the end goal at all. So
that is so interesting because you just basically said like setting that foundation is what's important first and asking yourself what your wants and needs are. Yeah. And I immediately thought like, oh, that's not how I think of it. I almost think of it, okay, how can I save like the most money this month? Or like, what can I omit like spending on? But I don't really think about like my wants and needs in terms of like like the money part of it. So that's actually really interesting.
Yeah, it is. And like, for example, like for me, I don't care which car I drive at all. I drive a car like 2015, which is now 8 years old. But I drive it and I'm happy. I don't need to change this to Audi, to BMW, or to Tesla. But with me, like, I like to eat healthy food because it's give me the energy. So I will like set aside money for that. And then I want to think for the next 10 years, I need to do other things. And for that, one of the important rule in finance is time is where your money grow. Because if you give enough time, everything that you put in investment, it will grow tremendously because of the compound interest rule. Mm-hmm. But if I want 10 years, I do other things, but now I don't have enough money to put in for them to have the time to grow, then how I can find that money? Because I don't want to like stay work until like I'm 70 years old to be like live on social security money at all. It's such a boring life to live. So
yeah, it's so interesting when you say to tune into your own needs and your wants, like how you gave the example for you, it's healthy food. And the first thing that came to mind for me was that when we think about money, there's so much of this pressure to like keep up with those around you. And so it's like, oh, you see this person has, I don't know, like the newest bag. So then you feel like you have to do that. And we don't even slow down and ask ourselves, is this what I want? Because maybe that person, they prioritize spending in this way, but that doesn't mean that you need to do that. And there's just kind of like this constant, oh, someone bought a house, like especially as a millennial, like they bought a house, oh, why don't I have a house? Or like, you know, they're having XYZ, why can't I? Or they're in, I know my husband and I have talked about this with people investing in real estate, and we know people are doing that, and we're like, we can't even afford to buy ourselves a house, so like how are we, you know, it's this pressure. So it's really cool to hear you say that you kind of have to focus on yourself and not on what other people are doing.
Yeah, and that is the discipline, and it's hard. So these days, like, we have so much temptation, you know, like, peer pressures, our family influence too, like, our parents, like, I don't know with your culture, but my culture too, like, my parents say, oh, why you don't do this? Oh, why you don't have that? And that, they influence how we make the decision in terms of financial too. But then if you listen to your goals and you look good and you have the vision and you understand like your own need and want and the way that you want to live your life, it totally shifts the conversation.
Definitely. It just makes me think back to when Divya and I were in high school, we had retail jobs. So we worked at the mall.
We worked at the mall.
Our parents we just got these jobs because we just wanted like extra spending money. And our parents would tell us, you should be saving that money because in our culture, you should be saving majority of what you make. So our parents would tell us, save that money. And our way of rebelling against that was to then give us shopping. We would have like mini shopping sprees from like our paychecks, and I remember we would feel so good about it because we're like, well, we earned this money, and you know, in a way we're going against what our parents are telling us because we felt like we needed to spend this money on like getting new clothes and stuff. And it just makes me think back to like that relationship with money just started like way back then, and we didn't really realize it. We were just like, yeah, we have these jobs. We're not really looking into the future in any way. We just want to spend what we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this immediate gratification that you need with getting money. And I just had an insight, Ravisha, when you said that, because I remembered that it reminds you that your money story runs so freaking deep, because we did this in high school, right? And I just thought about, so this last Saturday, we went, me and Raj, and I keep saying Raj, Fiona, that's my husband. We went to the farmer's market, and we didn't buy anything, but to me, I was in the car. I was like, why did we go to the farmer's market if we didn't buy anything? And he was like, why did we need to buy something to go to the farmer's market? And I'm like, well, we went somewhere, and so shouldn't we have? And I just realized, and he was like, no, you can go somewhere and not buy anything. And that it's like we earn money, and then you think, I have to spend it. And that narrative runs really deep. How do you, so I'm just now was like, oh crap, like that runs deeper than I thought when Ravisha said this story. But for someone like me or anyone else, how would you tell them to kind of switch that narrative? Because I want to switch it, but it's so hard and I stay really so hard. Stuck in it.
So I read the book called Boundary Boss, and she is a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's were referred to me by my therapist, and one of the concepts that she taught on it is called secondary gain. So basically, something that we do, we know that we stuck with it, we want to change, but because it gives us some comfortable, mm-hmm. so the gain that we stuck is higher, is lower than the gain of changing. So you know that we don't change until we feel so pain mm-hmm. that we need to change. But there is something that helps us, like cover,
mm-hmm.
feel more comfortable with being like the same way that we are in. And so we don't change. And so I think that's those things you need to think about, what is the painful situation if we don't change in this action. And that is why I always think about consequences. If I stay, like one of the way that helped me to leave the corporate job is I know that if I keep doing that, I would be stuck for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And the pain of being stuck in it, so huge. Yeah. It was so huge. Yeah. So it motivated me, like put in the plan, take the action, and basically like change.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, if they give me so comfortable and so easy, I probably wouldn't change at all. I probably stay in it for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's the same with your money too. What you don't get today, if you don't change, it needs to be something that feel like so deep rooted in it. Mm-hmm. And you decided, okay, I don't want to stay the same thing. Which is so hard because you can spend $100 easily, $50 easily. But I tell you, like, need to save $1,000 to put in investment. Oh, that is huge.
Yeah.
That is huge. So the pain of like saving $1,000 is so huge that you don't want to take it at all. So maybe that is your internal conversation mm-hmm. that you need to yet understand more on that.
Yeah, when you think about like what's like how you said, like what's keeping you to where you are in that pain, I think that also motivates and drives you to make that change as well. Because staying in the same situation that you think you're comfortable in without like taking that leap of faith, then you're just going to be like stuck.
Yeah, it is. So one of the person who I don't remember his name, but he say one of the most poison thing is the paycheck every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But because it's so comfortable that it make people just stuck in it. Like if you run your own business, you're not going to be like get the paycheck every week.
Yeah.
So that prevents you to change. So.
Yeah, because when you have like that schedule of like money coming in consistently, you're like, well, as soon as it comes in, that's what makes you want to like stay in that situation and not like change in what you're doing, because it's like on that schedule.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah. What would you say then? I kind of want to go into a bit of like for the listener's sake and also for my own selfish sake in ways of what are really easy kind of like tangible tips that you give to the women that you coach, you work with, to budget, to save, to keep track of finances, to rewire this narrative around money, just all of it. So I guess what are some essentials if you had to think of 5 essentials that you had to teach every woman?
So I think the first thing is know where you are at. Like get the data. Like you know, like okay, how much you spend on grocery, on food, on glow, on whatever it is. You have like a picture of where you are at. That's give you awareness. Like okay, oof, why I spend like $3,000 for grocery and eating out? That is so So not good. So this is like give you the pictures. Most of the women that I work with, when they know where they are at, they like just like, ah, I need to change. So I have a client that she's in the business for 2 years, but she make a lot of money, like 35K per month in revenue, but she never have been profit at all, because any money coming in, she spend it out, she hire someone, she spend most all of that, until she had started work with me, and we put in the picture of where's her money look like. And she say, oh, Fiona, why I just like pay for the consultant more than I pay for myself? That is so not logical at all. So if you know where you are at, that is give you the picture and the awareness. And from there, you will need to like talk about your goal. What is the life that you want to live? List it down. 10 of them, 5 of them, 11 of them, whatever. And some of them you think like it's unrealistic. But most of the time, you know, people who have the goals, 80% of people who have the goal achieve the goals. So at least you need to have the goals. And then talk about your execution. Like the same with the business and the same with our life, our personal life. If you want to make like extra $2,000 per month, what it needs to take you, like time, skills, and those things you need to schedule in your schedule, like 1 hour per day that you need to learn additional skill, or like 1 hour per day, you need to go on social media and share your ideas, your gift, or your search. Or you talk to the people, say, this is what I have experience, skill with, the expertise, and I can help you with it. But those things need time and execution. Mm-hmm. That's number three. Like regardless how you think you excellent with the work that you do, but if you no one know how amazing you are, then there's no more earning at all. That's number three. And number four is you basically like get the feedback from what you do and adjust it and change it. But most of the time, I can say like I see people say that is magical. Or like manifestation or whatever it is. Yeah. But I see it's happened with clients all the time. And they change their financial in the matter of months. Like 2-3 months. They flip their financial. They flip it. But because they know where they are at, they have the strategy, the goal, they execute it, and they adjust to the feedback from the market. And that's just like just 4 things. But it's, of course, you need your time and your commitment. But 90% of the time, I see people change their financial just in like this. And this is not like woo-woo thing at all. It's a real thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's like a really good start for people. Like I like that number one being like you need to look at where your finances are and like how you can make those changes. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is so we're like in our late 20s, so we have a lot of people get our friends getting married. And so we wanted to ask you, like, what do you think is an important conversation to have like with your partner about finances? Like what you've seen is important to do.
Yeah. So one other thing before the marriage, you need to discuss about how is person priorities in terms of financial. So like some, they want to look good, but some they want to just saving. Like different people, different way of look at the money. So you need to understand it. And then the second thing you discuss, like if like something happened or if you need to have a huge budget, how will you have that conversation? Mm-hmm. Like if I need to buy a car, how I can talk with my husband, like, and we discuss this before it happened. Because when we have those situation happen, we usually drive by emotion. When you're so emotional, you can't have a real conversation with the other people at all. Mm-hmm. So you know the blueprint about the your partners, how they react and how they think ahead of the time. And number three is has a prenup, which is so important, but many people never actually had that discussion. But you think about it, like people say, oh, that's a so hard conversation. How can you talk about it? But now you ready to marry. So you very happy. You in like a very good emotion state. That is the best time for you to have the negotiation and discussion. But like once, like I saw so many people when they divorce, everything become extremely hard for you to actually negotiate at that time. So I think that's two things.
I had actually listened to this on a podcast about a year and a half, maybe ago, about prenups. And it was really eye-opening to me because I heard that everyone has a prenup. It's either like you are deciding the terms of the prenup, which is when you create it right with your partner, or it's the government deciding your terms of your prenup. So like everybody has one, and there's this misconception. I fell into it too, of if you really are getting married, or why are you preparing for divorce? Like, why do you get a prenup? And it's more actually empowering yourself that you've created the rules of the prenup, right? Or it's not necessarily telling yourself, oh, what if you do get divorced? And my husband and I, we have our business coach who they asked us, like, did you guys get a prenup? And after we were like, why would they ask us that? And then we learned more about it, and we're like, that actually is really smart to do. And it's something that I wish more people had education about, because we had really a lot of misconceptions around prenups, and that it is pretty smart to do, because you're just deciding the terms and conditions of your relationship. God forbid something happens and it's not the government.
That is your right too, because like you think about it, why we spend like months and hundred of life, some people even spend $100,000 for their wedding. But they never actually discuss about their right in terms of financial in a relationship. And if you live in like community states, like for example, California, anything your spouse owe, you owe 50% of it. Like
Oh my gosh.
automatically.
Wow.
Automatically.
That is crazy.
It is. And it has the laws with it. So if you never actually like sit down to understand like how is the regulation in that state that you live and how it will influence affect your financial, your tax situation before you even like have a commit for life with a person, it's so unreasonable at all. Like that's what I feel. But people always have like a notion to work prenup is something like bad luck, something like not good, something like you mean to your spouse or future partner, but it shouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, I won't lie. I kind of felt that way too. Like what Devay was saying, but when you put it in those terms where it's like it's either your guys' negotiations together now or the government's later, you would want to choose your negotiations now. And hopefully you'll never have to resort to the prenup, but it's not like harmful, I guess, in any way to just have one.
It's actually very good and protect you, especially for women too, because eventually if you have a children, you have like you normally children would go with you, like if you have a job and stable financial and all of that. But if you never actually think about protect yourself and your children, we never know. We love our spouse, but we never know what actually happened. And when you have a little people that depends on you, that is so important to think ahead of the time.
Super important. I think especially when you're in a partnership, there's this way you have to talk about budgeting and money, and then there's a way you talk about it obviously with yourself. But how would you say that you people can stay realistic to budgeting? Because I'll say for me, I end up falling off the bandwagon so often. And I don't know if it's because I'm not setting realistic goals or what it is, but why have you seen people fall off it? And like, what's a way that you would recommend for people to budget in a realistic way on their own? I mean, on their own or in their relationship too, if they're in a marriage, but just in general.
Yeah, so like I said before, changing is hard. So that's why if you look at your historical information and say like last 6 months you spend like $1,000 on eating out, for example, there's no way that next week you will change this to become like or next month to become like $100 or $200 per month at all. It needs time. So new habit change in this time. And that's just why you need to build the time for you to change that habit. Like from $1,000, you go down to 800. Maybe that 200 is not like huge difference in your life. You just cut couple, like two it out in there, you save that $200. And then you feel like, okay, that is so easy. So next month you move a little bit more. So changing take time. And people like we need to see things happen right away. And that's why we fall. Because like, okay, now 1,000, I want to cut a half of it. So next month I'm excited for the new goals. But it's not based on who you are and your habit at all. And that's just why I make you like fall off and people like feel like demotivated and they never actually set the budgets again. And they like, okay, that has never worked with me.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. 'Cause I will agree with that that you like I'll try to make a change and then it's might be realistic, but I want to see that like the result of that change right away. And I think it's just giving it time is like what is needed. Forget about that 'cause you want the instant change to
Want it to all be
happen.
so fast.
Yeah. And even
Tomorrow, it needs to
walking.
happen.
Basically.
It's not realistic because I've done that. And then also just like talking about money, we have to get comfortable talking about it as women, as a society, and there are just so many barriers. But I think, I mean, it's so important to talk about it, especially now, because I know that there's so much talk around the recession and inflation, and there's a lot of fear with it. So it's like it's being talked about almost, I would say, in a very like fear-mongering way. So how do you get people comfortable talking about it? Because honestly, for me, when I think about finances, it's very scary because I hear recession, debt, loans, like all the scary words. It's not very uplifting.
I think like one of the thing that will have us less fears about talking about money or even like deal with the money is once we get more familiar with it. So once you become like familiar with things, with money or anything news always make you feel scared. But if you get this like familiar with it, like you learn more, you read more, you talk to people more, you take the course, you have the foundation, you're familiar with it, then you feel like, okay, at least I know what it is and I can take care of it. It's the first thing. The second thing is like society like put a lot in term of money is your identity. Like whether you make like $150,000 per year, that is you very successful in your career. Or you drive a BMW or whatever the car that is like in trendy. That is your identity. But it, in reality is isn't. And I know a lot of wealthy people. They drive an old car. They live in a very small house and they don't look like anything as the wealthy people at all. And so if you can detach your identity with your money, your success is not depends on how you look and what you drive, what you own. You have so much freedom. Like, I mean so much freedom to pursue what actually meaningful in terms of well for you.
Yeah, wow, that was like really powerful to hear. Like, I mean, it's true though, like society puts like so much pressure in a way of that, okay, whatever you make, how much ever you make, you need to like show that off and like the things that you have. And we all fall for it sometimes in like some ways. And so we forget that like we don't have to be attached to that identity.
It is, and I mean like money is not it's just a mean, But eventually, what is meaningful for you, I don't know, is maybe like live a healthy life, a happy life, or have the time, the freedom to pursue the life with the meaningful people in your life, like your spouse, your partners, or something like that. Then those goals is also need to have a fun money for you to do it. But it's just a mean for you to do this. It's not like an end goal that you have $1 million in the bank and you're sitting there to look at
Yeah.
it at all. So that is how I look at it. But
Yeah. I'm seeing there's so much of mindfulness and intentionality that goes into money and talking about money too. And I've always heard that, you know, there is a connection between it with money and mental health because it's all part of like this big scale of wellness. Like financial wellness
yeah.
also goes into your mental and emotional and physical health, but I'm having further realizations about it through this conversation that so much of it is about being intentional and being mindful and tuning in with yourself. So you need to have some of that self-awareness to be able to really kind of get into the driver's seat of your financial decisions. Almost like that's the first step, like you've kind of been saying through this entire episode.
Yeah, it is. It is like what important to you. It will be different from what important to me. I have a son, so he's important to me. So a lot of my financial need to go to have him for his future. But you don't have it, and so you will not like react or handle your financial the way that I do at all. So tuning with who you are, what important to you is the first step. And then the second step is just step outside of the pressure of your peer, your family, your environment. And I remember what's her name? Sarah Blakely. She's the founder of SpanX. And she say the first year of hers found her own company, she didn't share her company with most people. Just only her mom and couple close friend knew about it. Because he said that is the infancy of your idea. And if you share with a lot of people will say, oh, that is not a good idea. And they influence your goals and your pursuits or your path to that goal. So the same thing, if you have a financial goal for yourself, but you will talk to your mom and your mom say, no, that is not good. That is so risky. Don't do it. Then you never actually pursue it at all. So be careful with your environment too.
Yeah, that's definitely really good advice. I think is like what we've talked about today is to be mindful about what you want and what your goals are and asking yourself those kinds of questions. I honestly learned a lot
Yeah,
today.
me too.
So we
This
really
is so
appreciate
helpful.
you talking to us about this. And I also will mention the resources that you mentioned seem like great reads for other people if they're interested. We'll include it in our show notes. But
Yeah.
yeah, thank you so much, Fiona, for having this discussion with us today.
Thank you.
I think more than anything, it made me take a second to like realize like what my goals and what I'm looking for. And hopefully our listeners will feel the same.
Thank you so much for the time today and the opportunity to share my thought with your listeners. So I'm so grateful. And hopefully we'll talk to you guys soon.
Yes, we will stay in touch. And if we ever have any money questions, you are going to be our girl. And if any of our
Yeah,
listeners have any, we will
definitely.
reach
I'm here.
out. This has been
I'm
so
here.
great.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Have a
you,
wonderful
Fiona.
afternoon.
All
Bye-bye.
right, bye.
bye. Thank you for tuning into another episode of Conversations Brewing. We hope you take some moments to reflect on our episode with some coffee in hand. New episodes of Conversations Brewing come out on Tuesdays.
We'd love to hear from you about what resonated with you and what you want to hear more about. So let us know on Instagram at our account at Conversations Brewing. If this episode was helpful, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcast and continue to tune in weekly.
We so appreciate your support and we'll brew some conversations with you next week.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say.
Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.